Good morning. You know, if you go to a concert, sometimes they sell CDs. Well, we've got Austin Grubb photos here for sale.
That's all sitting over here.
He may even autograph it for free. You never know. Yeah, appreciate all the kids singing there. I wanted to mention a couple things. I went to visit, some of you know Gary Johnson, who's a prisoner in prison in Wartburg, and I went to visit him recently. And I meant to bring his address. I mentioned it in Kingsport last week, but I forgot to bring his address today. But he sends this newsletter, so forth. And you know, whenever you visit a prisoner, a lot of times prisoners, you never really know the motivation, so forth. But Gary is in prison for the rest of his life for murder, actually, and he is baptized. He's been baptized for about 2.5 years now, and he mentions that a couple of you. You know, he gets letters from time to time. He does appreciate quite a bit. And what I'll do, I'll email everybody on the email list his address in case you want to write him. And I'll also put my post office box, because sometimes people don't like to send letters with their address. Not that Gary would cause a problem, but I'll put my post office box if for some reason you want to just put that on there. If he sends a letter back, I'll be glad to get it to you. But he's... really a nice guy. In fact, when I went to the prison to visit him, it took me forever, it seems like, to get approval because they have a maximum security, middle security, and minimum security, and he's in the middle security. And when I was the assistant chaplain was taking me back there, and it's a long walk, it's about a half a mile walk to go back there, and the assistant chaplain told me, he said, I want you to know Gary is a nice guy. And he the whole time I was there, he didn't try to say he was cheated and got a raw deal, things like that. He was very upfront about things, but he's really just looking forward to the kingdom. And like I say, he's baptized and was really a nice guy talking to. So I'll send that out on the email list. Also, I wanted to mention Cortina Smith, who's a member in Knoxville, and I'll give you her address. Gary's I didn't have because it's not on the list here, and I've got it at home. But Cortina has had a couple strokes, and she has been in the hospital a couple times, and she's getting better, but they think she has a blood clot possibly in her brain, isn't it? Somewhere in her brain, and they've given her blood thinners, and she's had, who hasn't had a lot of trials, basically, when you get that? Some people have health trials, some people have family trials, some people have work trials, and some people just have trials. That's probably all of us, isn't it? But I'll give you her address if you want to send her a card. She's home, but she's going to be going back and forth to this Patricia Neal Rehab Center, and they told her she might continue to have some of these little mini strokes, they call it, but she seems to be doing pretty good right now. And her address, it's Cortina Smith, and the address is 260 Eagle Ridge. That's two words, E-A-G-L-E, Eagle Ridge, R-I-D-G-E, Drive. And that's in Philadelphia, but it's Philadelphia, Tennessee. It's not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, Tennessee. And it's 37846. 37846. So I wanted to mention that. I know I'd spoke on, about a month or so ago on Obadiah and on history of the Edom and so forth. And I was going to continue. I want to continue that because there's a lot of stuff going on in the Middle East and the world. And I know Mr. Cowan was telling me today how he heard that a group over in Europe, the EU, got together talking about that they feel that they need to have a military. And there was like, what, 7 countries got together at the time. And, of course, it'll probably, we think it'll eventually be 10. But I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to do it next time, God willing, because I thought it would be a good time, since it's Thanksgiving weekend, to talk about thanks, and just sort of like the sermonette was today. My title, I know somebody asked me for a title, and I gave them a title, and that's not the title, so scratch what I told you it was going to be. Title is Nuclear Physics Part 3. No. It's Why Give Thanks? Why Give Thanks? Because, you know, in the United States, we've just celebrated Thanksgiving, and it's time that was set aside by our forefathers to give thanks to God for the blessings of the new land. And we look back, and, you know, it seems like you look back in history and you think time was a long time, but that was back, you know, it wasn't that many years ago. What, less than 500 years ago? I guess I can't add too good, but math wasn't my strength. But it wasn't that long ago, and we have a tradition, and it's one of the holidays that we keep. Because what's wrong with giving thanks? Now, I've heard people give all types of reasons why Thanksgiving isn't necessarily a holiday that should be kept. Well, you know, let's put it this way, because they've said it was part of Babylonian system, so forth. Well, let's just scrap all that aside, because, you know, we don't want to do anything that would be wrong, but there's certainly nothing wrong with having a day of giving thanks. You know, you just basically say it's a day to sit back and thank God for all that God has done for us and all that God does for people. Now, why give thanks? It may seem like a dumb question, because on the human level, what happens when you people say thank you, don't they? It just rolls right off the lips, sort of like saying please, it seems like. And, you know, it used to be, I didn't used to hear this, but so often now, if you go through checking out somewhere, they'll say, have a nice day. I didn't used to hear that, but that's something you hear a lot about now. But thank you is a polite thing to say. But what about giving thanks to God? Why do we do that? Do we do it just to be polite? And the answer, of course, is no. We have so many things to be thankful to God for. And I've jotted down here 10 things that, you know, they're not earth-shattering little thoughts, but I jot down 10 reasons to be thankful to God, and they overlap somewhat. But I thought it'd be a good time today, since we've just finished a time of the year of being thankful, and now we've got a time of the year where people, you know, tend to look down to parties and you know, the last month of the year, December, is kind of an interesting month, to say lightly, I guess. But being thankful to God, why would we want to give God thanks? And there's so many reasons, but I jotted down 10 here. The first one is the Bible tells us we should. The Bible tells us we should give thanks. All God's commands to us are for our good, aren't they? They're to benefit us. And I jotted down Colossians chapter 4, because the Bible tells us many, many times, I mean, I could spend the entire Bible entire sermon just on this point, that the Bible tells us we should give thanks to God. And in Colossians 4, verse 2 and 3, Paul, writing here, says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So when we pray to God, the Bible tells us, here Paul writing, says, we should thank God. You know, when you look at what's been called the model prayer, you know, it says, Father, hallowed be your name. First thing we do is thank God that he's God. What if you name any leader, was God. You know, you look back at even the best leader. You know, people look back and they talk about some of these leaders, human leaders over the centuries. There's not a one of them that comes close to measuring up to God, does it? And then some of them we look at and we think, we want to say thank God that they're not our leader type of thing. But thanks be to God. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. Keep thanking God. But notice what Paul says in the next verse. Meanwhile, praying also for us. So Paul thanked these Colossians for thanking God or praying for him. But notice what he says. Not just, God, thank you for Paul. Paul said this is the reason he wanted these men and women from Colossae to thank him or to thank God for him. Thank God that God would open to us, open to Paul and those with him, a door for the word. So we're to pray and thank God to be able to get God's word out, to get God's word, the truth out. But notice, it's not finished there. So he says, praying also for us that God would open for us a door for the word, for God's word, to speak the mystery of Christ. And quite frankly, God's truth is a mystery to most people. Most people don't understand about God. They'll have certain parts and pieces of it. How many people understand about the true Sabbath? How many people understand about the holidays? How many people understand about the mysteries of God, all the truth that God has spread throughout the Bible? But he doesn't finish there. So I'm going to go back to start again. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant, thanking God, thanksgiving, praying also for Paul and whoever's with him, that God would open a door for the word, you know, to speak the mystery of Christ, God's word, God's truth. But notice, for which I am also in chains. Paul was in prison. Paul wasn't out there like any of us preaching the truth. Paul was telling these Colossians, be thankful to God when you pray. Keep praying and praying also for him that God would open this door for him to speak the truth of God through him and others while he's in prison. He's not even out. He's in prison. And then he says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The Bible tells us to thank God. And Paul here was saying, thank God for all the things he does, but thank God and ask God to help him get the message out. And anybody else, all the other apostles and all the other speakers of the truth, to get the message out. And asking him to say the truth. This is walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. You know, those that may not understand, be able to ask for wisdom, redeeming the time. Let your speech also always be with grace. You know, God doesn't want us to just be argumentative and fighting and arguing with people. Season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So each person, we look at the truth. So we all kept, to some degree, another Thanksgiving. I know Penny and I were at her mother's, and many of the relatives there were there this past Sunday. On Thanksgiving, Penny and I had Thanksgiving dinner at the Cracker Barrel. Yeah, it was a big one, wasn't it? We ordered this. We had the worst waitress I think I've ever seen. She was the top of the worst waitress I think I've ever seen. We couldn't get waited on, and she only had two tables, didn't she, or three? And the people next to us, they brought their food first, but they didn't have any silverware, and their food sat there for 10 minutes, I think, with no silverware. And they asked her for silverware. Well, ours, we had no silverware either, but we didn't have any food either, so we didn't really need the silverware. And I told Penny, I said, when she comes, we got to hit her with everything. We want silverware. I'd ask for more ice because she gave me iced tea, but there was no ice in the iced tea except just a little couple, three or four little cubes that had melted already. And I said, we got to hit her with everything. We got to hit her with the ice. We got to hit her with silverware and something else. I forget what the other thing was. And then they brought the food out, and they had this Thanksgiving Day special, which we didn't want. We wanted the turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes. She wanted okra, fried okra, and I wanted corn. And we ordered that. We didn't want that, though. We just said, just give us, we'll pay. It was like 50 cents more to get just the regular turkey and dressing and what we asked for. But the Thanksgiving thing had turkey and ham and dressing and sweet potato casserole. And when they brought our food out, there it was, big piece of ham on both of ours. And we said, well, we really don't want the ham. So the guy that brought it out wasn't our waitress, but he took it back. And all the while, those people next to us were still waiting for their silverware. But they had their food. And finally, you know, ours went back. And here it comes back out. She brings back out again. And it had the ham on it again. And I'm kind of getting mad. She was really mad, but I was trying to be careful. She was being very rude. But I said, we do not want the ham. We don't eat ham. And she said, this is the only way it comes. That's what she, this is it. You have to. And we don't want the ham. But this is the only way it comes. We don't have it the other way. And finally, I said, just take it back and take off the ham. And I'm thinking, it's going to come back. We're going to have this ham taste. But anyway, they finally brought the food, and I think they did actually, you know, we had another piece of turkey, I think. So we finally got our food while they're still waiting for their silverware. No, actually, they called the manager over, and they probably got their meal a discount, but we were too stupid to realize we could probably do that. But after it was all said and done, the waitress comes up, and she says, well, do you want your piece of pumpkin pie now? And I don't know why, how I got on this. This has nothing to do with my sermon. But I said, you want your pumpkin pie now? And we said, we don't want any pumpkin pie. She says, but it comes with the meat. Like you have, we don't want it. What, do you want me to put it in a to-go box? We don't want the pumpkin pie. So that was our Thanksgiving meal. We were very thankful for that meal. But we had a wonderful time at Penny's mother's. But it's amazing, isn't it, how it works sometimes. But Paul, like I said, he was in prison. And he was just thanking God. Tell those people to thank God and ask God to help him do what he needed to do. The Bible tells us to be thankful. Let's look at one other scripture on this point over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17 again says, pray without ceasing. In other words, don't ever quit praying. You know. But notice what it says in verse 18. In everything we do, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's the will of God? That we give thanks. The Bible tells us to give thanks. Okay, number two, giving thanks to God sharpens our perspective. And again, these overlap to some degree. But when we give thanks to God, it helps us to put things in the big picture. It helps us to see things clear. God wants us to be thankful. Human nature has a tendency to do what? To overlook the positives and focus on the negatives. Human nature, how many people do you know that just are negative, that just are never seem to be happy, that always seem to be looking for, you know, what's wrong? I jotted down here the man with no shoes. He could complain about not having any shoes till he met the man who had no feet. You know, I mean, we can look at ourselves and see things that we wish we had till we realize how much we really do have. And it's sad, but in this country, and I mean, we've seen this in the last, you know, just with the election and so forth, so many people, they just want their things. They don't want to give up anything. I saw a man on television the other day on a program, And he was the head of the education union. And they were asking him about the fiscal cliff, as they called it, and how the taxes going up on people, and they asked him what he thought that if the taxes went up on the wealthy, and you know some are wealthy, but you know, and then you look to see how much the wealthy are paying now, and you know you could go around in circles on this forever. But they asked this particular man. They said, okay, if taxes go up on some people, what would you, as your union, your teachers' union, what would you be willing to give up? What, because you've got to cut some spending somewhere, what would you be willing to give up? And his answer was, we really need to tax the wealthy. We really need to tax, which was not the question. You know, his answer had nothing to do with the question. So this particular man on television asked him again, said, but we understand that some people may need to pay more taxes, but what would you, your union, be willing to give up? And his answer was, well, we really need to tax. The same thing. He just answered a question that had nothing to do, with the question. So finally, it was either the third or fourth time, the man on television said, look, you're not answering my question. I'm going to ask you this one more time. We understand what you're saying, that you feel people should pay more taxes. But we've got to cut some spending. Your teachers' union, just name me one thing that you feel that you would be willing to give up if taxes go up. And his answer was, we shouldn't give up anything. We're not the problem, he said. We shouldn't give up anything. We shouldn't give up anything we've got. It's these wealthy people that need to pay more. Well, it is this point. Giving thanks to God sharpens our perspective. It makes us think about the fact that you can see everybody should be willing to give up something to help the whole, shouldn't they? But yet, how many people are willing to give up anything? I mean, look at what they call it, that term Black Friday. I don't really know what that really means, but think of some of the things that people were fighting over things in Walmarts. And we had the news on today and coming up, and they were talking about at somewhere, Victoria's Secret, they had yoga pants. What are yoga pants? But yoga pants on for $12.99 or something like that on special. And there was this war fighting. Well, war is not the word, but fighting. Women were fighting over these yoga pants, which more than likely, who knows if it was even a good price. It was just they just had to get these yoga. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? Well, people tend to just lose their perspective. They don't want to be thankful for things. They just want more and more and more, and it's all bringing us down. And you see where we're heading. We're heading right on down. Things are not getting better. Things aren't getting better. Let's look over at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, Penny asked that twice. She said, what are yoga pants? I said, you're asking me? Do I look like I know what yoga pants are? But they were for $12.99 on special. I mean, we've lost our perspective. We've just lost our perspective on things. You know, our television broke. We have a couple, but one of our televisions broke, so we thought, well, we'll get another TV. So we went over and checked things out, checking around earlier this week, and we bought a television. I think it was Monday or Tuesday of this week, and I think they kind of look at you like, well, don't you want to wait till Black Friday? No, I don't want to wait. I don't want to get up at, 12 midnight and try to save whatever it is and maybe get trampled in the process. I told Penny, I said, this Walmart or I was thinking about this Victoria's Secret, and I said, well, there's not going to be any older person there like me, but I thought, that'll just get trampled. just get knocked aside to get in. It's crazy. We've lost our perspective. We don't even, it doesn't even make sense. It's so bizarre. It's just like it doesn't even make sense, some of the things that are going on now. But over in Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12, here Paul speaking again. It says, not that I speak in regard to need. Paul was talking about things, and Paul said, I don't need that much. It's not what I need. He says, well, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Well, how many people in this world are just content? How many people just living in the United States? The blessings we have living in the United States with all the trials and problems we have. Think about how would you like to live in some of these other places. He says, I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content. Paul, that is something good to say. He says, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. He says, I know the good times, I know the bad times, and I know how to be content either way. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, Paul said, I'm just a pretty happy guy. I remember, I didn't mention this here, I think I mentioned in Kingsport, that the blessing of the children, when we did that earlier. I was thinking about that, and when we pray for God's protection, I was thinking about my little granddaughter, Bria, who's a teenager now. But I remember when she was about 3 years old, I think she was 3 or 4, but I was helping my daughter move. She was moving out of an apartment, and she was moving to Kansas City, and I was helping her move, and it was just my daughter and I and my little granddaughter, and we were going to go eat, actually, and I'm not saying this to be humorous, we were going to go eat at the Cracker Barrel. My daughter and it wasn't Thanksgiving, though, but my daughter and granddaughter and I, and we're getting everything together, and it was just gotten dark, and I was in my car, and my daughter Margie was in her car, and we're getting ready to pull out, and I thought Bria was in Margie's car, and we thought we were in the other car, and was just getting ready to pull, and I looked, and Bria was right behind, walking right behind my daughter's car. You know, we've been working and we're hard and we're thinking. And I saw my daughter start to pull out, and I saw that. I thought, she's going to hit her daughter, my granddaughter. She could have run over. And I just prayed, and real quick, and for some, my daughter just stopped and had no clue. In fact, had no clue that Bria was walking behind the car. Now, what if she had a run over? Would neither one of us have ever forgiven ourselves to some degree, I guess you could say. But yet, it made me, in a way, think about how many times I'm blessed and how many ways, when we don't even realize anything's about to happen, and hear a little innocent little baby, to speak, was just walking along when her grandfather and her mother, quite frankly, for a minute, weren't paying attention. Paul said he's learned to just be thankful and not worry about having every little thing that he thought he had to have. Number 3, thanksgiving, or thanking God, I should say, helps us remember and appreciate our blessings and not forget them or take them for granted. And again, like I say, they all tend to interweave with each other, but thanking God helps us to remember and appreciate our blessings and not forget them or take them for granted. Psalm 103. And I think when we read the Psalms, you know, some people just love to read the Psalms. And I think a lot of times musical people tend to love to read the Psalms a lot of times, because the Psalms are basically lyrics that were put to music, and we don't oftentimes know the tune that they may have sung them to back here years and years and years ago. And oftentimes we've got these Psalms put into music, and people write Psalms to music, beautiful music. And it may not be anywhere close to the music that of the tune that they were sung back then, but psalms are David's praising God, or other men or women praising God at the time. But here's one. 103 is a psalm of David. And verse 1 and 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." David was just thanking God and just praising him. He was so thankful for all that God had done. "Oh, bless the Lord," he said, "O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." David was just excited thinking about God. And notice what he says. "Who," God, "who forgives all our iniquities," all our sins. Isn't that something to be thankful for? That God isn't like human beings, that when you make a mistake, they keep holding it over your head. You know, I know people that have told me about people they've known that they make a mistake and they've heard about it for years and they just keep bringing it back up, and God forgets it when we repent. And David said, "Thank you, God, this wonderful God, who forgives all our iniquities and heals our diseases." And yet, we all die at some point, humanly speaking, but God gives us the ultimate healing at the resurrection, doesn't he? Resurrects us, anyone who's a Christian, to eternal life. And then those that didn't know the truth, someday he'll give them the truth and give them the opportunity to live forever. Who redeems your life from destruction. We would just, you know, I can't understand these people that say they don't believe in God and they just go through their life like they just somehow existed. They just somehow, by some fluke of whatever you want to say, are alive. Like, could there possibly be a more odd thing to think that all these people out there have lived and died and lived just by chance because of some evolution, rather than saying there has to be a supreme being that created all of us? And it says, God who redeems us from destruction. You know, I remember all the times I've looked back and I've thought about, you know, life, and think about, there's a God that forgives all our, that created us, who forgives us for all our iniquities, that heals us when we're sick, who redeems your life from destruction. In other words, you don't have to just cease to exist. You wait in the grave for the eternal life. You know, God will resurrect you. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Someday, the old pain of our physical body can go away and can be given eternal life. What a God. Number four, no reasons to thank God. His thankfulness is an antidote for fear, worry, doubt, and other damaging emotional reactions. Thanksgiving is an antidote. You know, it'll help you pull away from fear, worry, doubt, and other damaging emotional reactions. This world is pretty tough, isn't it, sometimes? This world's pretty hard sometimes. This world isn't always easy. I remember once sending a card. You know, we're always hearing about people that are sick, and I'm sure, you know, some are better than others, and I'm sure not one of the betters, but of sending out cards and things. And I remember one time just getting a prayer request from a man that he lived in California. I didn't even know the man, but I thought I'd heard the name somewhere because I'd lived in California before, and he had cancer. This was several years ago, probably 10 years or more ago, and I remember we had a prayer request and had a man's name and address, and for some reason, I wrote him a card. I'm not sure why I particularly wrote him a card, and all the many other people that I may not have known didn't send a card. But I remember sending him a card, and he had cancer, and just sent it and sort of forgot about it. And I don't remember how much longer it was, but it was probably 2, 3, 4 weeks. And I got a card in the mail, a letter from him thanking me for sending him the card. And I'm thinking, and he told me a little bit about his situation, and I thought, that man really appreciated that card. He appreciated so much, he took the time to write me back. And I thought, wow, I'm sure glad I wrote him that card, but I thought, if he only knew that it may be just time and chance, but maybe God put in my mind that particular day to write that particular person. But he took the time to write me back. Now, hey, do you think he had some fear, some worry, some doubt, some emotion about the fact that he thought he might be dying of cancer? And I don't know whether he did or didn't over time, but yet God heals. But yet there is a time, as it says in Ecclesiastes, a time to live, and there's a time physically to die. And yet, as we, when we're young, we think, well, maybe we're not that one that's going to die. But yet, if we physically die, that's not the end of the story. And being thanking God is an antidote to all this worry and doubt. I mean, we look around. I look around at what's going on in our country and our world, and it's worrisome. And it's frightening. But yet we think, well, that's what the Bible, that's what we've been reading in the Bible, that all these things are going to happen. There are going to be evil men and evil women. They're going to be doing all types of evil things. And yet we look and we get worried and get concerned, and we think, oh, what's about to happen? But yet God says, don't be afraid. God says, don't be afraid. He's going to work it all out. In the end, he's going to work it all out. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I was in Philippians earlier. And I was in Philippians 4 earlier. But I want to read a couple other verses here in Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. It says, again, I say, rejoice. And yet, how easy it is to not show that. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, we're not to be fighting, strivers out there arguing and complaining and getting in these situations. But here's the verse 6, 7, and 8. I want to focus on here. 6, be anxious for nothing. Well, we do have worry, don't we? And we do, as our bodies have ailments, and you get a little concerned, you get a little worried. But yet God says, don't be overly worrying about this physical life. Take care of yourself as best you can. But know that God's going to take care of things in the end. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. God says, tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what's bothering you. Tell him what's worrying you. Pray to God. Supplicate God. You know, ask God for help. But thank God as you make your request known. And it says, if you do these things, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. In other words, this is not an easy life at times, but God's peace will help you and help me and help us through these times that we live in. And then famous verse 8, which is probably one of the more memorable verses in the Bible. Finally, Paul says, brethren, men and women, other Christians, whatever things are true. You know, when you look at all the liars, you see these people on television, you see our leaders lying to us, and just lie, and you know they're not telling you the truth, and they twist things around, you know they're lying. Which says, focus on the fact that whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is of good report, you know, good things. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, this, meditate on these things. Yeah, it doesn't mean we can't see the trials, the life, the problems. But God says, don't worry. Overly worry. Focus on the future, what God has in store. Number five, expressing gratitude to God reminds us of who and what God is. Expressing gratitude to God reminds us of who and what God is. Psalm 106. Another psalm of David, Psalm 106. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy, it endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord, or who can declare all his praise? How can we possibly thank God enough for all the things that God has done in our life? Boy, you look at the things that didn't go maybe the way you wanted to go, and you know, when we really look at it clearly, a lot of the times we caused the problem ourselves, didn't we? But yet, God says, man, focus on what he does. Focus on the great power of God. Psalm 107. I mean, I could read this entire psalm that I just read. I could read all of Psalm 107 or any other psalm, basically. But look, notice verse 1 here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How many times have we been protected by God and gathered out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south? They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. We wandered around. We didn't know what were going on at points in our life. And yet God said, I want you. I want you in my kingdom. God said, he cares. Verse 15, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. How often do we just thank God for the fact that he's God? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Same words, but notice verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of what? Of thanksgiving. Just thanking God. Thanking him. And declare his works with rejoicing. Verse 43. Whoever is wise will observe these things. What things? Thanking God. And they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The wise will thank God. The people of the United States tend to think they deserve the blessings. But what did we do ourselves to deserve the blessings? What did this country itself do? God, remember, God chose people and God calls out people and God blessed Israel and God blessed his people. But yet, what do we do ourselves? Let's look at one other scripture on this point. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Back when the children of Israel, they're out of Egypt and God gave them laws. And notice one law here, which I find interesting, in Leviticus 19, verse 15. It says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. When we judge, he was telling these Israelites, judge fairly. But notice what he says then. You shall not be partial to the poor. You're not just, if somebody's wealthy and blessed, you don't just say, okay, we're taking everything from you and giving it to the poor. Of course we help the poor. Of course we're to help the poor. But God said, you shall not be partial to the poor, nor shall you honor the person of the mighty. In other words, everybody should be treated fairly. Well, in this world, how's that going to happen? We need God to come back, don't we, to right the wrongs. But Israel was just to judge fairly and not be, oh, this person's poor, just keep giving them more and more and more. What if we gave every person that was considered poor, and who would determine what that is? Because we probably wouldn't get counted. But what if you gave every poor person $100,000? Say, here's $100,000. Wonder how long, how many of them would have spent all that money within however many time. Then what do you do? Then what do you do the next time they're out of money? Give another $100,000? I know somebody told a friend of mine that they couldn't understand why President Obama didn't just go out there and print $16 trillion and pay off this debt. Why don't we just print $16 trillion and pay off this debt where we don't have this debt? Well, don't you wish your debt, my debt, somebody would just write it all off? See, we don't understand. We don't understand. But yet God writes off our debt and forgives us of our sins. But the Israelites, you weren't to be partial to the poor, and you weren't to be partial to the mighty. But in righteousness, it says, you shall judge your neighbor. The principles are on righteousness. Boy, is it that way today? Number six, and I'll go through these a little quicker than I went through the first five, or we'll be here a little longer than we planned. Number six, giving thanks builds motivation for calling on God in times of need. Giving thanks builds motivation for calling on God in times of need. I remember my mother used to always say, you don't realize how thankful you are to be healthy till you're sick. And when you got the flu, or when you got a bad cold, or when you got whatever the case may be, man, you wished you were feeling good again. And what about when you get these more serious diseases? Thanking God motivates us for calling on God when we need. Would God really want us to just ignore Him? And then when we are in big trouble, say, okay, God, I need you now. God wants to get to know us. The way He gets to know us is through reading the Bible and praying and thanking about Him and on trying to understand God's laws, God's ways of life. Giving thanks builds motivation for calling on God in times of need. I remember I fasted the day before the presidential election. I thought, I need to fast and ask God. And it's not that I don't fast. Let me put this way. I don't just fast once a year on atonement. I try to fast. I have a little schedule that I try to do. But I decided I would fast the day before the election. And Penny was back in Murfreesboro. A friend of her son was having surgery, so she was not there. And this is one of those fasts where it seemed like about 30 minutes into it, my head started hurting. And I thought, this isn't going to be good. And my head started hurting, and it got to hurting worse, and I didn't have Penny there to complain to about my head was hurting. I couldn't eat because I was fasting. And it seemed like the longer it went on, and I remember getting up the next morning, and I was feeling a little better. And then as the day went on, it's like all I did was look at my watch. And I got, let's just say this, I got a little sick that afternoon. But you know what? It made me appreciate when I do feel good. And it made me appreciate that I thought, man, it'd been so easy to quit and so easy to get something to drink or something to eat. But I'm thinking, you know, our country, I don't know what God wants. I didn't know what God wanted. I know what God wants long term, but I didn't know what God necessarily wanted short term. But I knew that our country's in a bad way. And I thought I needed to fast about it. But the more I thought about it, and the worse I felt, the more I realized that I needed God's help just in so many ways. Well, over in Psalm 50 this time, and I could read so many Psalms and so many verses, but just picking out a few here as we think about being thankful for all that we have. I thought I'd read verse 14 and 15 of Psalm 50. Offer to God what? Thanksgiving. How often do we just thank God? That's what I'm trying to say. When we pray, just say thank you instead of I want, I need, I have to have this. He understands what we need. Offer to God with thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble. He says, I'll deliver you. And what will happen if we go to God and we call on God and we ask God for help? We go to God in the day of trouble. Notice he answers it. If we do this, it says, you shall glorify me. God says if we thank him and go to him with our needs and go to him with our desires and go to him with our fears and hopes and dreams, it's glorifying him. It's glorifying him. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes? You know, these wicked people, they get up there and they talk a big talk. And God says, what right do you have to be talking about morality? Wicked people that lie and cheat and steal and are out to hurt. To the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Talking about how much they love God and standards when they don't even obey his laws. Why did he say this? Verse 17. Seeing that you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. They talk the talk, but as I say, they don't walk the walk. Number 7. Thanking God motivates us to obey God. Thanking God motivates us, or should motivate us, to obey God. Psalm 105. Verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. And when we sing God's hymns, we are praising God. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done. His wonders, his judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. And a Christian is one of God's chosen ones. A Christian is one of God's chosen ones. Verse 42. For he, God, remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy. The Israelites were released from Egypt. Christians, when they come out of sin, it's being released, in a sense, from Egypt. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen one with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes. God called Israel out. Why? To be an example. Didn't turn out that they were often, but God called them out to be an example, to observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord, it says. I remember once seeing a woman. This is years and years ago. I was living in California then, so it had to be back in the probably the early 80s, and I had an appointment somewhere. A doctor's appointment. I think I had something about my ear was being checked on. And it was a big, all these doctor's offices. And I got on the elevator. I was coming down to the first floor. And there was a woman that got on the elevator the same time I did. And she had obviously been in one of the doctor's offices. And she was crying. And she wasn't like sobbing, but she had tears in her eyes. She was crying. I didn't know what she was crying about, but I was pretty sure that she had gotten some bad news at the doctor's office. And I remember I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to say, can I help you, or just ignore. And I just sort of ignored it and left. And I still remember this day wondering, well, could I have said something, or could I maybe help her a little bit, or I maybe could have asked her if there's anything I can do? And it makes me think of that, and I won't turn there, but you may jot down Luke 10:25-37 of the, you know, the Good Samaritan. Remember that a guy was beaten up and half dead, laying on the side of the road, and the priest came by, and the priest saw him, and he went over to the other side of the road because he didn't want to get involved. And then the Levite saw him, and I better get around on the other side of the road. I don't want to get involved in this. But then the Samaritan, who the Jews did not care for, saw that man. He bandaged him up. He took him to, I guess you could say, the doctor, got him cleaned up, and even paid for him a room for the night. And I always thought about that woman that was on that elevator, had tears in her eyes because she had gotten some kind of bad news. I don't know what it was, but whatever her appointment with the doctor was, it was not, hey, everything's fine. You know, people are struggling out there, and just a kind word sometimes goes a long way, doesn't it? Number eight, giving thanks establishes an atmosphere conducive to edification. Now, what do I mean there? Giving thanks establishes an atmosphere conducive to edification. You know, they say you're known by the company you keep. And when we thank God and when we are asking God and praising God, it's a good thing. And we're around people and speaking good things, it's a positive experience. Well, over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul speaking. Remember, Paul was in prison when he was in Ephesus, or wrote this letter to the Ephesians. He said, therefore, be followers of God as dear children, telling these men and women in Ephesus to follow God and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And notice what he tells these Christians. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather of giving of thanks. Paul said, don't be out there telling dirty jokes and laughing at crude things. And you know, you can't change another person. You can't make another person do what you want them to do. But you and I can set an example and not act that way ourselves. When we are around people that are just, you know, there are people that will drag you down, and there are people that will lift you up. And every human being makes mistakes. But do we want to be around all the nasty, dirty jokes and all the, just the filthiness in this world? And God, Paul says here, don't do that. But give thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, or idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, because of all this filth that's going on in our world, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons and daughters of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers of them, with them. Giving thanks builds an atmosphere, a positive atmosphere, doesn't it? Verse 15, 16, and 17. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What's wrong with getting a tune in your mind, a positive, uplifting tune, and just thinking about it? Thinking about good things. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought that was interesting. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the God. You know, I remember once I was working on I had a job, and it was not a very good job. You know, I was working as a financial advisor, and I wasn't doing a lot of advising. But I got a phone call. One morning I came into work, got a phone call from a girl that I knew that I worked with when I worked with another company, and she's a Seventh-day Adventist, and she was aware of the Worldwide Church of God and so forth, and she would talk to me about it sometimes at work, and she and her husband were Seventh-day Adventists, and I remember her. I get a call one day at work, and I thought she heard I was looking for a job, and I thought she was going to give me a lead on a job, and she called me, and we talked for a few minutes, and then she said, well, what I really called about is my husband and I are thinking about coming to your church. And I first thought, well, that's a good thing, but I want them to make sure they know why they want to come. And I started talking to her a little bit, and she said, the reason is because we don't like our minister at our Seventh-day Adventist church. We got a new minister. We don't like him. And I thought, well, that's not probably going the direction I really wanted to go. But then she said something. She says, I want to ask you a question. What type praise music, and how much music, and do you sing? And you know, now we have, it's a good thing to sing to God. But now sometimes you see these churches, they just want to sing and sing and sing and sing and sing. And that's all they want to do. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong. God says it's good to sing. But singing and singing and singing and then going out and saying, do whatever you want to do, that's not a reason to go to church. And I sent her some information, told her I'd get together with her. I never heard again about it. But, you know, praising God in song is a good thing. But that's not the reason you go to church. That's a good thing to sing to God, but it's a lot deeper than that. Number 9, two more. Being thankful is important to set the right example. Being thankful is important to set the right example. How many positive people do you think of when you think of the people you work with, that you know, your family, your friends? And how many down in the dumps grumblers can you think of? Philippians 2. And again, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians all were written by Paul while he was in prison. And yet, how positive was he in these? Philippians 2, verse 15. That you may, verse 14 and 15. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do you want to argue and fight and complain about everything and talk about what's wrong with everybody else? There are these people. You know, if a person is coming to you and telling you what's wrong with somebody else, they're also telling that somebody else what's wrong with you. You know, you think, well, they're telling me about everything that they don't like about other people. Don't you think they talk about you too? And Paul says here, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Why? That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If we're a positive Christian, we can shine like a light in the world. I know that when I worked, I worked at a grocery store when I was in high school, and I actually enjoyed the years working there. I would work, you know, part-time, and I did all types of jobs. I bagged groceries. I was a cashier. Back then, you had to punch in the numbers. Now you just scan things. Back then, you had to have a little sense. You had to type in the key, and okay, it's 20. You know, I'm thinking, man, today they just zip it on through. And I worked at the produce and the stocking and the meat department, all these various and sundry things. But I remember clearly a man that worked there named Mr. Marbury. Mr. Marbury was the grouchiest person I think I've ever met in my life. He never had a positive thing about anything. He complained constantly, and you might see that he cursed quite a bit too. And he was just fussing and griping, complaining, and everybody just kind of thought Mr. Marbury with the old black cloud hanging over his head. One day I went to work, and they told me over the weekend that Mr. Marbury had died. And you know what? Nobody seemed to really care. Sad, wasn't it? If we are positive, we'll shine like a light to this world. And finally, number 10, I think it's clear, and I think you know it too, that God appreciates and enjoys being thanked and praised. God doesn't need our thanks. God doesn't need our praise, but I feel he enjoys it. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. John was given a glimpse of the throne of God. In verse 1, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven." And you know, we can only kind of imagine what this was like, but here was John seeing it. "And the first voice, which I heard, was like a trumpet speaking and saying, 'Come up here, and I'll show you things that must take place after this.' And immediately..." John says, "I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And God sat on the throne." You know, he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald." And we can't even totally visualize this, can you? "And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the thrones, which are the spirits of God." And you could go on and on and on and read this, but I want to just drop down to verse 8. "And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within," and I don't even pretend to try to understand exactly what this looks like. "But and they do not rest day or night." Here's the point. These creatures in the throne of God do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." What did it say? They never stop saying it. "And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders then fall down before him who sit on the throne and worship him and lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne and they say, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they, all things, exist and were created.'" It said they don't rest day or night praising God. Do you think God has to have that because he needs his ego stroked? No. But I think it's an indication that the angels never quit praising God because he's so glorious. God the Father, the Word who became Jesus Christ, they're worthy of honor and praise and glory. Over Hebrews, final scripture, Hebrews 13. verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. Our thanksgiving, our example, our lives pleases God. You know, you could look back at Leviticus, first several chapters. It talks about the sacrifices. Now, these were the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices. And you know, you'd have the sin offering and the various offerings that the point of those offerings were, in a sense, to get something, because it would be when you sinned, you would have to go offer that offering to asking God for forgiveness and readmission to the camp, so to speak. But there were also what God called the sweet savor offerings of the voluntary offerings. They're called the thank offerings or peace offerings in the Bible. And they weren't an offering that God required because they sinned. They were offering of just thanking God. They didn't have to give. It wasn't an requirement. It was because they wanted to give these offerings. It was called the peace offering, the thank offerings. So God requires us to repent and ask for forgiveness. But God also tells us he wants us to thank him and thank God for all the many things that God has given us and given mankind. Giving thanks is the best way we can offer a sacrifice to God, in a sense. We can and should offer God thanks both in words and in deeds or works. So Thanksgiving Day that we just kept is a good time to reflect on our blessings and give thanks God for all the many reasons. But above all, I guess you could say, the most important thing is to thank God just because God is God. We would cease to exist after we died if it wasn't that God is God. And God's a merciful God that brings sons and daughters into his kingdom of eternal life. So, thanks be to God for being God.